Ephesians chapter 5. I would like to get one verse out of that passage where we were last Sunday. Ephesians chapter 5. And the verse that I want is verse 30.
Welcome to the Grace and Mercy Hour, brought to you by Rocky Mount Church in Arab, Alabama. Rocky Mount Church is a Primitive Baptist congregation, a family-integrated church that seeks to worship God in spirit and in truth, a church that seeks to maintain the simplicity of New Testament worship. Thank you for tuning in. Please stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for contact information, and may the Lord bless our time together today.
Ephesians chapter 5, and the verse that I want is verse 30 that says, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." We spend a good bit of time looking at this passage that we often go to when we want to find out more, learn more, try to understand more about marriage. But as we look at this passage that begins around verse 22 and continues on through the rest of the chapter, don't ever forget that the primary lesson is to help us understand the relationship between Christ and His church. Now, we have this description, if you will, of that relationship. And if you want to know the secret to a good and godly marriage, it's really not a secret. Okay? It's plain for us right here in Scripture. If you, as a man and a woman, if you as husbands and wives, if you individually understand and embrace your part of the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, and then you take that understanding and apply it to your marriage, then you will have a good marriage. You'll have a marriage honoring to the Lord, and you'll have a marriage that brings the greatest joy and pleasure that you'll ever find in this life. Again, the primary lesson, though, is the relationship between Christ and His bride. More specifically, our part of being that, the body, our role as individual members of the body. Paul says we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. The human body is an amazing thing, isn't it? And there's several of you here this morning that could tell me a lot more and tell us a lot more about the human body than I can. But just to think on very simple terms, as simple-minded as I am, I think about this creation of God, the human body, starting out as the smallest single cell within the male, joining itself to the largest single cell within the female body, and life begins. That's amazing. What we call conception, and life begins at that point. Amen. Life begins right there. That in itself is a miracle. Two single cells, and they begin to grow. They begin to divide and multiply. Then they begin to specialize. And so over the next 9 months, you see the unfolding of what we read in Psalm 139, When the psalmist writes this, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." So the next 9 months, we're talking about average, we're talking about typical. This baby grows, it develops. Cells specialize and they wind up in the right place and developing at the right time. And organs develop and muscles and the nerves and all of these systems begin to develop and work together in harmony, and then somewhere around maybe 9 months later, this little baby comes forth from its mother's womb into a strange new world and begins to learn and further develop and gain knowledge and experience in life, and so gains wisdom, and here we are. It's an amazing thing that these two cells, they result in 37 trillion cells. That's what you have. How can that be? It's an amazing thing, the human body. Back up to chapter 4 of Ephesians. It's where I really want to kind of go from there. You, this morning, as individual members of the body of Christ, we are members of His body, of His bones, of His flesh. Ephesians chapter 4, we're told that when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended up on high, He gave gifts unto men. He gave some prophets, He gave some apostles, He gave some evangelists, He gave some pastors and teachers. He gave the gift of the ministry to the church. He gave the gift to the men, but He gave the gift to be used, to be utilized, to be a part of, and to feed the church. He gave this gift of the ministry. And we read in verse 12, the beginning of Paul's, it's a long couple of sentences here, an explanation of why. Why did Jesus, what was the purpose? And so he begins in verse 12, he says, for the perfecting of the saints. In reference to this gift of the ministry, whether it was the prophets and the apostles in the early days of the church, because there were prophets in the early days of the church, and there were apostles, and evidently they are no more. And then there were evangelists, and I think we still have those among us. I know we have that evangelistic gift, and we have the need for evangelism. And what we have primarily, though, today, pastors and teachers. But all of this was the gift of the ministry given to the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know what we have there in verse 12? It's just the beginning, but it kind of lays the foundation. Here is the purpose of this gift of the ministry being given to you, the church, the body of Christ. He says, for the perfecting of the saints. What we have here is the provision made by the Lord whereby we can become more complete in Christ and more mature in our Christian walk. The perfecting of the saints. The Lord has provided for us the means by which we can become more complete in Christ and more mature in our spiritual walk. That's good for you. That's good for you. He says, the work of the ministry. The Lord has provided the means by which we can learn, we can embrace His Word, we can gain more knowledge and more understanding. He has made provision whereby we, each one of us, each and every one of us can be equipped to minister to those around us. That's what He says, the work of the ministry. He didn't give the ministry for the work of the ministry. He gave the ministry for the purpose of equipping you to go to the work, to be a part of the work, to be able to minister to others. He has equipped you. That's good for you, but it's good for others. He's provided the means by which we can become more complete, more mature in our spiritual walk. That's good for you. He's provided the means by which we can be more equipped, better equipped, ready to go out and minister to others around us. That's good for you and for others, right? And then he says, for the edifying of the body of Christ, He has made provision whereby we, as a body, are built up. We're strengthened, okay? Built up and strengthened in every way. That's good for you. That's good for others. But more important than any of that, it's honoring to the Lord. And ultimately, that's what we seek after, to honor our head. So as individual members of the body of Christ, you have been given a gift of the ministry to provide a way, to provide the primary means, not the only way, but the primary means by which the Word of God is preached and by which it is taught, and so that you become more complete, more mature, so that you can minister to others and ultimately honor the Lord Jesus Christ, our head. And he goes on and he says a lot of things in the remainder of that chapter. But I think for time's sake this morning, I would like to move over to Romans chapter 12. Speaking the truth in love is the prerequisite for any kind of growth. The growth for you individually, spiritually, and as you mature and become more complete in Christ, speaking the truth in love is a prerequisite for that. Collectively, as a body, as a church, speaking the truth in love, proclaiming the truth in love is a prerequisite for us to grow spiritually and, yes, physically. Okay? So let's go to Romans chapter 12, I believe it is, and let's spend a little time there this morning. I just want a few verses, I think. Let's begin with verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now, you remember the verse there in Ephesians 5 and verse 30. We are members of His body. We're members of His body. Think this morning about yourself individually being a member of the body of Christ. And you think about the members of our physical bodies, how that they don't all operate the same, do they? They don't all have the same jobs. They don't all have the same duties and responsibilities or abilities. They don't all function the same, but they all function together for the good of the body, right? And so that's what we have here. He says, we're many members, but one body. Many members in one body. So we're all functioning together, even though we have different parts, different roles, different responsibilities. It's absolutely necessary. And it's not only just necessary, but it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to see all the members of the body working, carrying out their roles, performing their ability, or, you know, exercising their abilities and fulfilling their responsibility, doing their part as a part of the body, all of those members working together for one purpose, and that is for the good of the body. Right? That, you see, you think about cells specializing in your body, and you have these, you know, different organs, and you have the nervous system itself, and you have all these systems working together in the body, ultimately for what? For the good of the body overall, for the good of the body itself. And so, and we'll get into that maybe in just a minute if we have time over in 1 Corinthians. He says, we're many members in one body, we don't all have the same office. Interesting. You know where it comes from? It comes from the Greek word praxis. That ought to ring a bell with some of you. Praxis. And it means simply practice. Some of you in the fields of education, you had to take a praxis test to, I guess, show that you're qualified to teach, that you have some basic understanding of whatever, you know, and all that. But that's what this word office is. And it simply means this: how you practice something, how you practice business, how you perform your function. It's the how-to part of it, okay? The mode or the model by which something is carried out. That's what this word office means. And we don't all have the same office, right? We don't all have the same responsibilities. You've not been called to do some things. The next person beside you has been. But please don't think in terms of, well, I've just not been called to do that. I don't have the ability to do that. Don't let that be your default position. Okay? Don't let your default position be, I can't do that. Well, you don't know. You don't know until you've tried, right? And the purpose, again, of sitting under the sound of the preaching and teaching of God's Word is to be better equipped, right? And so the better equipped that you become with a better understanding and better knowledge of God's Word and how it applies to you, then some of those gifts and abilities and talents you have that have been hidden for a while begin to surface and bubble up, and you'll begin to understand a little bit more about your part, your role in the body. And it's a beautiful thing when that begins to happen, because that's what cells in the body do. They don't become so overly concerned about what all of the other cells are doing necessarily. They're focused on their responsibility, their role, and what they can do, not what they can't do. And they're not focused on what others may or may not be doing, but they're focused on what they can do. And they're doing it to the very best of their ability. They're specializing in that. They're becoming the best stomach cell that they can possibly be. They're becoming the best brain cell they can possibly be. They're becoming the best skin cell they can possibly be because they know they're not going to last long, so they don't have much time, right? Because they're going to shed off and die, and so they don't have a lot of time. And that's the way it is with a lot of cells in the body. They don't live as long as the body itself lives. They eventually become replaced, and some of the cells, that's not the case. And it's a beautiful thing to think about the specialization of the cells of the body and translate that to you as members of the body of Christ. We are many members, but we're one body. So being many, one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Grab hold of that phrase. Yes, we're members of His body. We are members one of another. And that shows us that vital connection that we all have. And like I said, we'll try to get to that in just a moment. The vital connection that we all have with one another. Jump down. Let's begin reading in verse 9. And I'd like to encourage you to think, or I'm sorry, not verse, well, we could get verse 9. But let's start with verse 10. I want you to think about you this morning, the body of Christ, this church. Think about it in terms of your own body, a living, breathing organism. Okay? And you're a part of that. And you have a role and a function to perform and so that the body itself is as healthy as it possibly can be. We're a living, breathing organism that you know, we experience things as a body. This morning, for the last couple of days, we have experienced, even though we weren't assembled yet, we have experienced the last couple of days pain and sorrow because we've lost one of our members. And we're not feeling sorrow and the pain for her. Sister Karen's rejoicing this morning. Amen? She's in a much better place than we are. Praise God. You're looking forward to that day one day, but right now we're here. And so we have the church. We have the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the most precious gift of all gifts that we've been given in this life. He says in verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. You see the language? One another, one to another, one of another. We're all connected. And it's vital that these relationships between the members of the body are as healthy as they possibly can be. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We're talking about different gifts of the body. So different members possessing these different gifts. And then all of us being an encouragement. Every cell of the body being an encouragement to all the other cells of the body, every member of the body encouraging one another, okay? That's why we speak to one another in love. That's why we show affection, kindly, spiritual, godly affection one to another. That's why we prefer one over ourselves. That's why we prefer others over ourselves. Well, because we want to be an encouragement to every other member of the body so that they have encouragement to each other to be more equipped and to be all, if I can use the phrase, be all we can be. He says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Let me ask you, when's the last time you felt the need of your brother or sister in Christ, you felt the need of their prayers? Right? When does that happen? I hope recently. I hope very recently that you have felt the need of the prayers of your brothers and sisters, that you wanted someone to come and be an encouragement to you, patient with you in tribulations. Because, you know, when we're suffering, when we have afflictions and tribulations in our lives, I don't know about you, you probably don't do this, I run out of patience. I get so worn down that if, you know, the least little thing irritates me and just drives me up the wall, you know, ask my wife. And so I need you to be patient in my tribulations. I need you to pray for me. But there are times that I want you to rejoice with me as well. And I want to always rejoice with you. Rejoicing in hope. Now that's something we're doing right now this morning, I hope. Rejoicing in hope, the hope of the resurrection, that resurrection day that's coming when we're going to preach a funeral here after a while and we'll save some of that, I guess, but he says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, So all of these things. Then I want to skip verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Verse 15 is what I wanted. Rejoice. Rejoice with them that rejoice. It might not be a small matter for you. It might seem rather minor, not insignificant, but it might be a small thing in my mind, but it might be a great thing for you. And you're rejoicing in whatever way the Lord has blessed you. Maybe He's blessed you to pass a test. I don't know. And for some other people, that might not be a big thing, but that's something to rejoice about, right? And so I want to rejoice with you. And you're happy for others to rejoice with you, right? You're more than willing for others to rejoice with you, especially but not only because we have something to rejoice with, but when we all rejoice together, the rejoicing is multiplied. And you know what happens? Our thanksgiving unto God is multiplied as well. Our thanksgiving, that's Bible. Our thanksgiving unto God is multiplied as your rejoicing is multiplied. Now he says, also weep with them that weep. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to do, a fair amount of reading here. Let's begin reading in verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So the comparison is made. Your physical body, all of these members of our physical body, they're many. They're countless. He says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. The body is not one member. It's one body, but many members. And he says this, listen, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the foot says that, if the foot feels that way, or maybe you think that about the foot, does that mean the foot is not a part of the body? No, the foot's a part of the body. The foot is a very important part of the body. I don't like feet. I don't know about you. I don't like the looks of them. I don't like to touch them. But I'm sitting around the house, and I look at my feet. They're not so attractive, right? And they might not smell too good. And I may not think very highly of my feet, but where would I be without them? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? So same principle. If the whole body were an eye, that would look weird, wouldn't it? If the whole body were an eye, then where were the hearing? What would happen to all of these other necessary functions if the whole body was one member? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Now listen to this, verse 18. But now hath God set the members, here it is, God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. That's your natural body, and that's this body of Christ here. As it hath pleased him. You're here because it's pleasing unto the Lord. You are a member of the body here because it's pleasing unto the Lord. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So one member can't look upon another member that maybe the eye, you know, I don't understand it, but I've been told that the eye is a very complex thing, and it looks complex to me. When you look at, these anatomical diagrams of the eye and look behind what all is going on in there and how it operates, it sounds like a very complicated thing to me. So this eye that has a very complex structure to it, so there's a lot of things going on, and it's like it's the light of the body, right? The eye is the light of the body. What comes through the eyes is critical, right? It's critical. It has the most effect on the body of any other organ or any other member of the body, the eye. And so the eye might be tempted. The eye might be tempted to look at the hand and say, well, what do you do? You don't look like much. Look how complex, look how sophisticated I am, the eye might say. But if the eye recommended that the body do something, how's it going to get the job done? It's got to depend on the hand, right? So the eye cannot look upon the hand and say, I don't need you. The head can't look at those ugly feet and say, we don't need you. No. If the head might will itself to do a number of things, but without the hands and feet, it's just there. It's just sitting there. It may not even be sitting there. It might be laying there. It's just there. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Members of the body that are more feeble. We look at the members of the body that are more feeble or less honorable, we think, or uncomely, unsightly, we think. And what do? Paul says we bestow more honor on them. In other words, other members of the body go to work and they do something to help that member of the body that appears to be weak or less honorable or uncomely. We see something that might be on, there might be some parts of our body we just don't want other people to see. What do? We put clothes on it. We cover it up, and rightly so. And that's it. That's what we do. We bestow by doing that, we bestow more honor on that member of the body. And so that's what Paul is saying. No matter what we think about how other members appear to be, you hear what I'm saying? What we think and how they appear, that's just not always the way it is. No matter what we might think or how things might appear, every single member of the body is vital, important, deserves honor, and deserves encouragement, deserves attention. All the members of the body have opportunity to do that, to be an encouragement to the other members. And that's Paul's lesson. He says, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. We're going to close there. You're members of the body of Christ. And you're a beautiful body. You're a beautiful family. So many ways that the church is described in Scripture. Friends, church is not something that we do on Sunday morning and the occasional Wednesday night. Church is not something we do. Church is what we are. We're the body. Body of Christ, members one of another.
Thank you again for listening. Rocky Mount Church is a Primitive Baptist congregation located near Arab, Alabama. We invite you to look us up on the web at rockymountpbc.org. That's rockymountpbc.org. You'll find various resources there on our website, as well as additional links to other Primitive Baptist sites. You'll find contact information there, and we would love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Thank you again for listening. We look forward to the next opportunity we can spend some time together. May the Lord bless you, is our prayer.